All right, let's head back to Alex Darnell.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Ladies and gentlemen, KSCO presents Alex Darnell. If you would like to join in our show today, you can call us at 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. And now, your host, Alex Darnell.
Welcome, everybody, to the second hour of KSCO Presents. I am your host, Alex Darnell. As I probably have said that a few times throughout this program, just so you won't forget. Well, that was an interesting program talking about nutrition, and Dr. Cantor has written three books. He spent his whole life in nutrition. I hope he eats well himself. I imagine he does, but he's probably like all of us. He probably cheats and has some desserts and good food and stuff that you're, you know, quote unquote, not supposed to have. So that brings me to my opinion here of what diet has to do with our health, and probably going to go out on a limb a little bit, and that is I would just say that I think that diet is one component of an overall healthy lifestyle, and that includes exercise, it includes moderation as far as drinking and any drug use, and moderation as far as your weight, and as far as probably what's really important is your mental well-being. And also, I think if you're a purposeful person, if you have something in your life that you like and that excites you, that gets you up in the morning and you really kind of can't wait to get it going. I mean, you actually are looking forward to something you're going to do that morning. It's not like just like, ugh, I'm going to do something, go to work, crappy job, you know. And not to say, hey, every day's like, oh, I'm so excited. I get to go to work today. Oh, my God, it's what a wonderful day. I'm so blessed. I love my work every minute of, oh, my boss is so wonderful. My co-workers are amazing. And the actual work that I do is even more stupendous. And you know, I could talk about it forever. It's so amazing. Hey, that's utopia, folks. Life is, hey, we're all stuck kind of in the middle of doing stuff we don't like. And I finally figured it out, at least for my business, that if I like 80% of what I do, or even 70%, then that's a win, because it just really never gets better than that, because there's always going to be 20, 30% of any business, no matter how much you like it, whether you created it yourself or not, that you are not going to like. It's like me, I don't like paperwork, so I put it off and it piles up, and I keep working on trying to get better at it so that I'll like it more. And I don't know, maybe I've also learned that being efficient, if you want to learn how to cut back on your work, really learning how to be efficient is a really good way to cut back on the amount of hours you have to put into your workday. Anyway, so that's one aspect of balance. But what I've seen is that or at least for me, and I've just seen that people that don't eat a balanced diet and certainly aren't into this, you know, macrobiotics and worrying about, you know, cutting the sugars way down and cutting out the things that cause the cortisol to go up, and eating their chicken and their cruciferous vegetables to make their serotonin go up. I just haven't seen this great health benefit to people that do eat the best, perfect, latest research diet versus people who don't. I don't see that much health difference. I just haven't seen it. I haven't seen this group of people that are so amazingly healthy. I mean, just like Georgia talking about her father who lived to almost 100. I mean, I don't know how long ago he died, but, you know, you imagine he was eating back before they even knew that there was such a thing as eating healthy, other than just some kind of balance. Look how long he lived. So I think it's really about moderation and the diet. Moderation, without a doubt. I mean, don't shovel down the junk food. Eat some vegetables and fruits throughout the day, and drink your water, and have a balanced amount of protein. And I'm really working on doing that, because actually Just realize, you know, I'm over 60 now and I've just got to clean up my act. I can't take any more chances on my health. It's over. I went and got a blood test today and I don't know what all my numbers are going to show. I'm kind of worried about it because who knows? The next thing you know, they might tell me I have three or four diseases all at once. I feel okay, but you never know. You never know. And then if they tell you you got some problem and you still feel well, and what do you do? I mean, you take the doctor's advice or not. And luckily I've discovered acupuncture, which makes a big difference for my particular couple of my issues. And it's so nice to be able to get some huge improvement to my health without having to take more drugs and chemicals. Because, I mean, I just can't believe on the TV, you talk about balance in life. Well, I can tell you, if you've got too many drugs in your system, that's out of balance. And if you watch any amount of, hey, you talk about CBS, NBC, and ABC News, it's like, how many drug commercials do you see? Well, or put it this way, is there any other commercial on those mainstream news shows that are not drug commercials? The answer is no. Ask your doctor. There's a few commercials I've seen where they don't even tell you what the drug is or what it's for. And you're supposed to go ask your doctor, oh, hello, doctor. There's some drug I've been wanting to ask you about. And the doctor's like, oh, okay, what's your problem? Well, I don't know. I don't really have a problem, but just there's some drug that just keeps sticking in my mind. Well, where'd you hear about it? You know, I'm not sure, but I dream about the drug. So maybe, I don't know, maybe it was divine intervention. It could have been from the TV. Oh, my God. So, I mean, talk about out of balance is using too many drugs. And I don't mean, you know, marijuana and alcohol and cigarettes and coffee. I mean, you know, prescription drugs or, you know, whatever. So I would add to everything that Dr. Cantor said is, you know, watch the prescription drugs. Don't fill your body up with too many chemicals. You know, try to figure out ways to make yourself healthy without being pumped up on chemicals. I don't know. And I know I met some guy. He's telling me that he goes off his diet once a week. You know, he's on a diet. Otherwise, he gets overweight. This guy runs a hardware store up in the mountains, and he's a healthy looking guy, but you know, he's definitely got some miles on him. So he's like, well, this is what I've discovered. So every Sunday I go off my diet. And I mean, I think that's what you have to do. If you just deny yourself, you're going to be in trouble because you're going to binge. And I know I went without breakfast this morning because of my blood test, and boy, I sure ate a lot of lunch. I probably ate more than the breakfast and normal lunch together. So, you know, it's all about, we got to be careful here. So we got Mary in Santa Cruz wants to talk about food issues. Let's do it. How you doing, Mary? Welcome to the program.
Hi, Alex.
How you doing?
Really nice show today.
What?
Really great show today. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. He was a great guest.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I wish we'd hear more of things like that. But
yeah. Sure. I agree.
And I, my very bright niece, who just got out of college, told us all about the Whole30 diet. Have you heard of that?
No. Tell us.
It's very popular now, but it's similar to paleo, but you're getting a lot of vegetables, basically, and it's a 30-day, so anybody can do it. Mm-hmm. I'm doing it.
Okay.
I didn't think I could. You cut out all sugar. It's very strict because it's for 30 days.
No, wait a minute. When you say all sugar, does that include fruits and vegetables that have lots of sugar in them?
No, it's not about fruit. It's about sugar in things. It's you are avoiding, you're cutting out, not avoiding, you're cutting out all sugar that's added to anything.
So you're talking about like just processed foods that have sugar added.
Like there's sugar in rice vinegar. There's trace sugar in rice vinegar. There's sugar. You have to look at ingredients.
Yeah.
And it's kind of labor intensive at first, but I and several of my friends just jumped on it because it's January. It was easy to do it in January, but it's a great 30-day program it's basically an elimination diet, and you find out, then you slowly go back on foods you've been eating and see what happens.
What are you left with?
It's really brilliant.
What have you been eating?
Well, here's the cool thing is you get all the meat you want as long as it's like your doctor said, get high quality meat. Don't just buy grungy meat or huge packs of meat from Costco. Get good meat. Get natural meat that hasn't been. Don't eat beef from a stockyard. Don't eat chicken, you know, like Foster Farms. Eat good chicken. Shoppers has wonderful chicken. Just eat less, but eat really good meat, but that's natural because of what it's been fed. It's not, you know, you have to understand that the animal you're eating has been eating something else.
And that's
you're
true.
Gonna get what he's been eating. So anyway, so that's part of it. And then the other things are, it's programmed in the diet. It's legumes and beans, and there's certain foods that aggravate the body. But one thing I wanted to concentrate that he mentioned was inflammation that's exacerbated by sugar.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you were saying at our age, I'm assuming I know somewhat how old you are. I think we're a similar age.
Yeah, probably 60.
Of a certain age.
Yeah.
And the aches and pains have just been rolling in. And I'm a very active person. Mm-hmm. I'm very strong. But every morning, waking up achy.
I know it's
so
every
2 weeks.
Okay, so what's
2 weeks into this? I have no aches.
Interesting.
My aches are gone.
That's interesting. I mean, I, you know, how much is this is the placebo psychosomatic effect? I tend to think that there's a good percentage of that in all these life changing things we do, regardless of what. It is.
I totally agree with you because you're a very intelligent man and moderation in everything. But this is a diet everybody can do just to get an idea of what it is to eat like this.
I mean, people are all into gluten-free now. I don't know what to think about that myself.
It's because the gluten, and here's the thing is I think back on every Thanksgiving dinner I've ever had, I blow up like a balloon.
Really?
And because you're eating tons of starch, tons of, you know, basically a lot of starch. And it's just kind of like you just have to sit down and think about, well, what do I eat that makes me, that I have no idea what makes me feel bad, but I don't feel great. And that's why I went on this, because I'm a doubter. I'm very skeptical. I hate bad stuff. I think like you. But for 30 days, if you do it, it's a really good thing to try. What my point was, some people really close to me were going on it, and they were bugging me, and I said, okay, I'm going to go on it for 30 days, and therefore I've done it, and then, you know, gets me off the hook.
Well, interesting. So, I mean, I should, for me to try any diet like this, it'd be difficult because I'm not much of a cook, so I don't know what I would eat.
You don't have to be, Alex. You don't have to really be a cook. I mean, yeah, you do have to stop and prepare something.
Make something.
Things,
I mean, can you even have a potato? A baked potato?
Absolutely. You can have all the potatoes you want.
Oh, but can you put the butter? I guess you can put the butter on.
No butter.
Oh.
But you can have ghee.
Okay, ghee. Yeah, I know what that is.
It's not, if you went on it for a week, you'd be pleasantly surprised how easy it is to do. Because I don't like to cook either.
So I look it up on the internet, Whole30. Diet. Whole30.com .org or something.
Yeah, it's really easy to find. It's just gotten hugely popular. Friends of mine, and there's the side effect is weight loss. It's not the goal of, and I like that too. It's a side effect, that's not what I went on it. I wanted to see, and my mom's got rheumatoid arthritis. And that's a huge inflammation problem. So by my doing this, maybe I can help her, because he's right. We are intaking chemicals that are causing a lot of inflammation because people have way too many autoimmune diseases now.
There seems like there's more of them around, and that's inflammation is a big part of that. Take some ibuprofen, see if that helps. I mean, we know.
That's going to take your stomach out.
Oh, really?
Eventually.
Well,
yes. Very bad for your stomach.
But we know it does lower inflammation. You can feel it. If you want to get rid of aches and pains, there's nothing like ibuprofen. And there again, I don't take that much of it. I just don't want to be using drugs. I don't take any drugs. I don't drink coffee. I don't smoke. I don't smoke pot. And I don't drink alcohol. I don't do any of it.
Alex, that's why I called you.
Yeah.
If you medicate your body with good food. And listen to me. I'm not a hippie. I've lived in Santa Cruz all my life. I've eaten everything I've ever wanted. But just, you're so smart. Think about what you take in does affect your body.
Well, I don't disagree with that. I'm just looking at, like I was saying earlier about the, you know, I look at this one family were real health food fanatics, and they just weren't any healthier than the people who were like big smokers. And so,
but that's true.
You know, I haven't seen this great health food benefit, you know, in this group of people out there. You're just like, God, this person looks amazing. What do they do?
No. You know? I totally agree with that. I listen, we've lived too long to see.
Right. So
that's not true.
Yeah.
And the doctor said, you can't follow anything 50%. This diet isn't meant to be followed for more than 30 days.
Well, you know, if you feel better, then more power to you. And I'm beginning to look more into these. To be honest with you, I've never gone on any specific new type of diet. I just haven't done it, but it could be interesting to try something. Somebody said go off the gluten for 3 weeks and see how you feel. I mean, you never know. It might be like, wow. But at the same time,
you don't know unless you go.
The thing is, I feel pretty good, except when I had the flu, I feel pretty good. And so I'm like, well, what is it that I'm going to, I guess maybe have a little more energy and get a little less tired in the afternoon. I guess there's those things could happen. Well, thanks for the call. Thank you very much for that call. It was very interesting. And we're going to go to our break here, and then we'll be back. This is AM 1080 KSCO.
Sooner or later, everyone will need legal help. When you need help, call on an angel.
Hello, I am Angel Hess, attorney at law, and I will help you resolve your legal issues. Estate planning, divorce, custody, visitation, landlord-tenant disputes, or for any other legal issue that comes your way. I will help. And if I can't help you, I will help you find an attorney who can.
It's not if, it's when you find yourself in a legal fix. Don't panic. Call on the angel. Angel Hess, attorney at law. 831-426-8536 or santacruzlegal.net.
Hello, my name is Tavia Avila. We are building a new radio program at KSCO. The show is called Walk the Talk, and it's all about people's dreams and goals and what is stopping them from achieving what they want in life. During the hour live broadcast, guests will receive resources in order to make their dreams a reality. We all have a life purpose and can all benefit from resources and support in order to make those dreams a reality. If you are interested in sharing your journey with others and receiving resources or being a resource for my future guests, then please contact me at 831-475-1080, extension 310, or you can email me at tavia@ksco.com. This talk show is not only about helping my guests who come on the air, but also about inspiring others to walk their talk. For more information, contact me at 831-475-1080, extension 310, or email me at tavia@ksco.com. That is tavia@ksco.com.
What blinding flash of brilliance is on Coast to Coast AM tonight?
It's going to be one of those nights on Coast to Coast AM.
We keep our friends close with this.
I'm George Norrie. What a fast year. What a bizarre summer as well. I'm honored to host one of the few syndicated programs on KSCO. Join us on Coast to Coast AM.
That's the recipe for great radio.
Right here on KSCO on Coast to Coast AM.
Wait for it after dark.
This is KSCO Presents. I'm Alex, and we are going to switch our topics here. We're going to pivot away from talking about food and talk about some politics here, since we've had a pretty interesting week of politics with the Women's March and with the government shutdown. I was surprised that we back to doing that again. And, of course, we hear the Democrats say that when it was the Republicans doing it, oh, this is just not the way you're supposed to run the government. And now that the Democrats are doing it, well, you know, we have our cause here. We've got to stick to it. And but I'm not so sure they were sticking to it when I hear that Chuck Schumer said that claimed that he's going to put $18 billion towards the wall. I mean, he's actually offering to pay for the wall. I mean, that's not the whole thing, but that's a good chunk of it. Certainly, you're going to get it going at that price. They're like, okay, we're going to offer that in order to get the DACA, in order to get the DACA's dreamers protected. immigration protection. And I don't know, to me, that seems crazy, really. I mean, I don't think the DACAs are worth that much because you have another 12 million undocumented people that live in this country. And if the DACAs are 800,000 and you're going to give $18 billion for the DACAs, what are you going to give for the 12 million others? Because at some point, we've got to deal with this immigration issue, because I think just about everybody on both sides say that, hey, we're not going to deport these people. Well, then what are you going to do with them? Let them live in the shadows? I mean, well, that's what we've been doing. Of course, now we got the ICE people rolling into town. I don't know why they went to 7-Elevens. I guess they got a tip that there was a lot of illegals actually working at 7-Elevens. And so let's pull all these people out of the 7-Elevens and get some news coverage. And I don't know, maybe they'll give away some free beer or something just to make the ICE people happy, because they come in there and they want something that's cold. And beer is cold, and their business is ICE, right? Where do we go? I don't know. I just know that Donald Trump is just pretty amazing. He ran on the platform of throw out the immigrants. They're all bums. They're all, you know, well, there's some good ones, but a lot of them are no good. Let's get rid of them all. And now here we're in a situation where hopefully reality will come smashing people in the face here, and that is that unemployment is so low that we need workers. I mean, I'm just amazed to hear people say that, oh, Donald Trump in the last year has actually created so many jobs for minorities, for black people, all this, and suddenly, oh, it's his policies. Oh, folks, come on. There's less jobs were created in the last year under Donald Trump than like 2,050,000 or something than under Obama in 2016, his last year as being president, about 2002. Jobs. And so what is it? Trump's policies are worse than Obama's policies. Less. I mean, the point is the president doesn't have that much influence in the short run. Okay, certainly not in the first year of influencing job creation. There's just no question in my mind, or any economist, not just your liberal Paul Krugman's, but other Robert Samuelson. He's kind of a conservative, moderate economist. You know, look around. You'll see that it's just not what's going on. But here's what's interesting. It's okay, so you got now they're actually employers are actually going to prisons and grabbing people as they're being let out and saying, hey, we need, how'd you like a job? I mean, when has that ever happened before? It's like, oh, you're a ex-con? It's like, well, let's see, gee, I think we lost your application. I don't know. My assistant spilled her coffee on it, and I don't know, we couldn't read your phone number, so we couldn't call you back. It's like, you know, ex-con, you know. Oh, yeah, last thing we need is an ex-con as an employee. Now suddenly the employment situation is so tight that they're like, well, an ex-con employee is better than no employee. So, and I'm not saying anything bad about ex-con employees. I'm just saying about how employers would see ex-con employees. We'll be back.
Hi, I'm Sam Quinn for User Friendly Computing, and I'm here with KSEO Chief Engineer Bill Graff to find out about the user friendly computing experience here at KSEO.
Well, Sam, we have many computers here, 25 or 30 up here at KSEO. Everything from printers, routers, switches, you name it, we have it. We even have 4 local area networks here at KSEO. So the folks at User Friendly Computing help us stay on top of all of the computers. If one of them fails for some reason, we lose a power supply or something, we call User Friendly because they can come quickly, efficiently. If they can't fix it in the building, they take it down to the shop and rework it for us. They do exactly what we ask, and they're reasonably priced. We're really happy with these guys. They do great work for us, and we know they'll do great work for you.
So give Peter and his friendly staff a call at 423-9653 and ask how to get your free $50 diagnostic. Just stop by the shop at 505 River Street. That's User Friendly Computing, 831-423-9653.
Keith Peters in Washington. Congress sped toward reopening the government as Democrats reluctantly voted to temporarily pay for resumed operations, relenting in a fight over illegal immigration in return for assurances from Republican leaders in the Senate that the Senate will soon take up the plight of so-called Dreamers and other contentious issues. The vote set the stage for hundreds of thousands of federal workers to return on Tuesday, cutting short what could have been a messy and costly impasse. The House has passed that vote as well, and relenting, the Democrats prompted a backlash from immigration activists and left-wing base supporters who wanted them to fight longer and harder for legislation to protect from deportation the 700,000 or so younger illegal immigrants. On Wall Street, the Dow up by 143 points, the NASDAQ rose 70. This is SRN News.
Mike Gallagher here again for one of my all-time, and I mean all-time, favorite sponsors, ReliefFactor.com. My story is simple. I had a hip replaced, then I had a motorcycle accident, left me in pain, who simply wouldn't go away until I started taking Relief Factor. A three-week quick start is just $19.95. 80% of people who do order the three-week quick start go on to order more, like me. Go to ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com, or give them a call. 800-500-8384, 800-500-8384, ReliefFactor.com.
Mom, what company did you use for your new blinds?
We used Blinds.com. Easy and affordable. Plus, they'll send you free samples, and every order gets free shipping.
Wow, okay.
They even remade our blinds for free because we didn't measure correctly the first time.
Perfect. Thanks, Mom. Smiley face.
Now through January 28th, claim your special listener promo code and save 20% off site-wide when you go to Blinds.com/shutters. Blinds.com/shutters. Rules and restrictions apply.
If you love cats, if you love dogs, or horses, pigs, birds, or frogs, there's a lot of ways to help if you're sincere. With a little bit of money, or you can volunteer. You'll save a life when you adopt. You're just getting started. Please don't stop. Right here on the Monterey Bay, you can save some critters with the SPCAs. Open up your home, donate a car, or pull some bucks from your small change jar. Give a little love, share a little time, save a little life, gain peace of mind. All the SPCAs of Monterey Bay.
I'm Gary Shapiro, and I invite you to join me Mondays at 7 for From the Bookshelf. Each week, I talk to authors, actors, musicians, graphic novelists, and artists about their work. It's always interesting, and you can hear it right here on KSCO. Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey. From the Bookshelf, Mondays.
During the Dr. Future Show, we often tackle difficult problems with innovative solutions.
Right. I like the idea of eating Whoppers as a strategy for financial prosperity tomorrow.
Whoppers.
Yeah. You have to eat a lot of Whoppers for that kind of prosperity, Al.
Yeah.
That's a real good one. Oh, yeah. No, dude, that's really good.
Whoppers that are grown from stem cells.
That's right. Yeah, stem cell Whoppers. Now that's a Whopper.
Yeah.
The Dr. Future Show, Tuesdays at 2 at KSCO.
This is KSCO Presents. I'm your host, Alex Darnell, and we're rolling into our last half hour of this today's edition, Monday, January 22nd. I want to say 19. No, it's 2018. Remember the good old days of the year 2000? We never got to calling it 2000. We always call, we say 2001, 2002. Yeah, remember 2001, 2002. But the year 2000, nobody says 2000. Yeah, remember back in 2000. No, they say remember back in the year 2000. So I guess it's just as well that it's in the past because seems kind of wordy saying the year 2000. But anyway, here we are in the year 2018, and we have a wild president, offbeat guy. What can we say? Doesn't seem to know what. It's kind of real obvious he doesn't know what he's doing. I think that should be clear. And he's just winging it, basically, just kind of trying to figure it out as he goes, which, I don't know, maybe to some extent they all do that. But this guy, particular, with you know, he says, oh, yeah, I'll sign this bill. The DACAs don't have to worry. I don't know. Now they do because it doesn't look like anything's getting done. And what is going to get done? I mean, are we going to really do something about all these people that are living here? I mean, we got the ICE people floating around, hauling some people out of here. I guess apparently if you have any criminal record at all, misdemeanor record, then you're at risk, more risk for being deported than if you don't. But, I mean, how's that going to get us what we need, which is immigration reform? And it's if we did kick these people out, or if we certainly enforced the E-Verify so the employers would get in trouble if they hired people that didn't have the proper documentation, wouldn't we end up with more of a shortage of workers, which is what we're finding we have now, being that we have to go to prisons to find workers. So that's not going to solve the problem. So the only way to move forward is to acknowledge that we made a mistake and not having either the Bracero program back in the 90s and 2000s so that these people wouldn't just stay. They would come and go, and we could know who they were. We could collect Social Security, and which a lot of them pay, and, of course, they don't collect it. So we actually make money off these immigrants. Anybody that tells you that we don't is wrong. People working, 11 million people. Think how much what's the workforce in this country? 160 million, 180 million. So that's like, 8% of the workforce. Well, our GNP is 18 trillion, or now it's up to 20. Let's see. Wait a minute. Yeah. Yeah. No, our debt is 18, 20 trillion. Our GNP is about 17 trillion. It's, I guess, same range. But if you took 8% of the workers and just made them go whoosh, goodbye, and at the same time their families, so another 8% of the population, let's say, you're going to shrink the GNP 8%. And it's like last time I talked, there was all this talk about, oh, we're up to 3% growth. Well, you're just shrinking at 8%. I don't think that's going to work very well for anybody that happens to be in the business of employing either employing or they're employing you. I mean, there's illegals that run companies and you're working for them. I mean, you're just like cutting out a big chunk of the U.S. economy, and it's not going to help. It's going to hurt. So, look, we got Billy Sunshine. I can guess what position he's in, but he's always got some good input. He always helps me express myself. And even with my new diet, my brain still works as slow as it used to. So Billy Sunshine's going to help out here. Hello, Billy. Welcome to the program. How you doing today?
I'm fine. And yourself? You sound good?
Doing good. Yeah, everything's good.
So just a quick item about ex-cons. I was hearing someone talk about this woman sort of rehabilitates and gives money to ex-cons and things like that. And what she was saying was you can trust murderers, basically. But not white-collar criminals. People who try to, get ahead of somebody, that's how they think, You can't trust them. They're people who want to take advantage. But often a murderer, that's a one-off kind of thing. It's not like they want to murder people right and left, but something happened in their life,
Well, they probably had anger issues, or they are just some really strange person that
were in a gang. They were a kid and they were in a gang and they were involved, that kind of thing.
Don't trust
the white collar criminals. That's what she was saying. She would invest in murderers way more than the white collar guys.
Well, or what about the illegal immigrants?
That didn't come up in her discussion, but it's about character, isn't it? And I think the character you can't trust are the shysters who try to, get ahead on people.
Well, I think that, the white-collar criminals that spent, 2 years in a minimum security prison for some scam that they were cooking up, I can tell you they spent the whole 2 years in prison cooking up the next scam. And watch out, yeah. It might be played on you and your bank account.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you know, these people that came, let's face it, the people that illegals that came here, they came here because there was work and there was people that are willing to hire them. And they couldn't come and go, so they figured, well, they better just stay here. And they're contributing members of society, and the crime rate among these people is lower than the general population. So I don't know what's the problem.
Well, the problem is that we're screwing up in the sense that there's a lot of people who go to prison who we could rehabilitate, and we don't really try. Our prisons are not things to be proud of at all. And then, of course, the prisons for profit thing takes us into another whole area.
Oh, geez.
Where this is what a lot of this jailing immigrants is about. Our attorney general and our president, they're invested in private prisons.
That's the problem. Once you got Republicans' money involved in something
just Republicans, in general,
well,
capitalism has twisted us all around.
Capitalism.
And we need a new way of thinking.
So long as the capitalist's best customer is the socialistic government, you know you're in trouble.
Yeah.
That's
good point.
That's the deal. Because there's no competition. I mean, is there any competition among all these contractors over in Iraq and Afghanistan and Syria? There isn't. It's just all this payola. Everybody's getting a big chunk of it. They have their hand out.
One of the richest people that we created is that Eric Prince at Blackwater, the brother of our Secretary of Education.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good point. Yeah, Blackwater's one of the worst ones. And they're going full speed. We don't realize the extent of the U.S. involvement in Syria. I mean, it's just the destruction that we are part of. And it's like there's a complete media blackout. If anybody says the media isn't controlled by the big powers, I mean, just look at, they all chose, like, oh, CNN says, oh, we're not going to cover what's happening in Syria. And NBC, ABC, oh, we're not either. Yeah, why bother?
You know, it goes back to that thing where the reporters are liberals, but the owners are Republicans.
You got it. That's it. It's the reporters are the inquisitive-minded people who are trying
to
get
about the country and want to see it fixed.
And they're trying to dig down to get to the root of an issue. And the big companies are like, well, you can dig somewhere else because we ain't digging into the Syria thing because we already have a plan. It's called destroy the place.
The place is already destroyed. There's not much left you can do to it now.
Well,
it's such a sad looking place. Oh my God,
it's horrible. And then they're working on destroying the other. Iraq is not that much better. And what about what's going to happen in Iran? They're doing their best to wreck Iran and Turkey. They're taking Turkey along for the ride too.
Yeah, it looks like every place that we go now, we turn to crap.
Yeah, that's right. It's everybody's making money and Bibi Netanyahu's happy. So what else?
Yeah, war's only good for, you know, the wrong people, unfortunately.
Right. You got it. Yeah, say, hey, I heard your show, man. I think you guys are doing good.
Yeah, Brad's really good, and I'm just Billy Sunshine.
Yeah, you guys are both great. You play off each other well, I think. And I think if I had another person, I think the show would be better just to have some dialogue and some interaction. But, you know, I guess.
Well, you can't always trust the calls to be there for you. So, you know, you do find yourself alone there for a while.
I just keep chugging along, blabbing away.
You do it. I couldn't do it.
Yeah, I don't know. I survived. I've been doing it for a while, and here I am. Well, thanks a lot, Billy. Don, hang on. We're going to go to our commercial break here of the middle of the last half hour, and then we'll take you, and away we go.
If you love cats, if you love dogs, or horses, pigs, birds, or frogs, there's a lot of ways to help if you're sincere. With a little bit of money, or you can volunteer. You'll save a life when you adopt. You're just getting started. Please don't stop. Right here on the Monterey Bay, you can save some critters with the SPCAs. Open up your home, donate a car, or pull some bucks from your small change jar. Give a little love, share a little time, save a little life, gain peace of mind. All the SPCAs of Monterey Bay.
Well,
I'm Gary Shapiro, and I invite you to join me Mondays at 7 for From the Bookshelf. Each week, I talk to authors, actors, musicians, graphic novelists, and artists about their work. It's always interesting, and you can hear it right here on KSCO, Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey. From the Bookshelf, Mondays.
During the Dr. Future Show, we often tackle difficult problems with innovative solutions. Right. I like the idea of eating Whoppers as a strategy for financial prosperity tomorrow.
Whoppers.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to eat a lot of Whoppers for that kind of prosperity, Al.
Yeah.
That's a real good one. Oh, yeah. No, dude, that's really good.
Whoppers that are grown from stem cells.
That's right.
Yeah, stem cell Whoppers. Now that's a Whopper.
Yeah.
The Dr. Future Show, Tuesdays at 2 at KSCO.
This is KSCO Presents. Alex Darnell. We've got about 15 minutes left, and we got open phone lines besides Don and Salinas. So if you want to participate, 479-1080 would be the number. But the question I ask is, everybody agrees that we're not going to deport all these people that are living here illegally. I mean, that's generally, okay, take it back. Not everybody. There are some other talk show hosts that say, no, they all got to go, okay? Well, on the political stage, there was a guy named Tom Tancredo, who actually ran for president in 2008 against Mitt Romney and Mitt Romney and McCain and all those other guys. And McCain ended up, taking the nomination. But he was like, no, we got to kick all these people out of there. But ever since old Tom Tancredo faded away, I've not heard anybody on the national stage, other than our president from time to time, advocate kicking all these people out of here. So, if we're not going to kick them out, then are we going to leave them living in the shadows so they never know what's going to happen next with their own lives? Or are we going to move towards a path towards citizenship? Or guess what? If they all just got green cards, they would be thrilled, okay? And that would mean they don't collect any Social Security because, they came here illegally, but they pay taxes, okay? They have Social Security numbers, but they don't collect Social Security. There's a special designation for them. So we make a profit off of them. Isn't that cool? Anyway, when are we going to do it? When are we going to just figure out how to move forward? No more name calling. Let's look at what we all agree on. And I think most people, most politicians at a level of the U.S. Senate and House support some kind of legalization. So why don't we just work on doing it? And, the Democrats, I know they want path to citizenship. Yes, I'm sure they wouldn't mind the voters. But to give you a little hint, if the Republicans are the ones that actually do it, they'll get the voters. So the whole idea is if you don't want a path to citizenship, I'm sure they could cut a deal. And the people would say, okay, you get a path to citizenship if you live to be 100. Or you don't get a path to citizenship, but hey, your kids are more than likely citizens unless they're DACA. Then they get, I would say the DACAs, hey, give them a path to citizenship because there were kids that were brought here. There was no crime. It was the parents that did it, okay, brought them here. So anyway, I just throwing that out saying, hey, folks, can we move forward somehow on this issue? We're going to find out what Don and Salinas has to say about this very thing. Hey, Don, how you doing?
I wanted to talk about the illegals, but first I wanted to say you made a comment about Paul Krugman and about Trump and the economy.
Okay.
Well, Paul Krugman famously said that if we elected Donald Trump, the economy would tank and never recover. So that tells me all I need to know about Paul Krugman, the Democrat propagandist tool. He's not an economist. He's a propagandist, okay?
Well,
and Donald Trump and the economy, the IMF, you know who the IMF
is? Oh, yeah, International Monetary Fund.
Yeah, they said that Trump's tax plan is on track this year to boost the world's economy, not the American economy, but the world's economy by 0.2%.
Why would that be?
What's that?
Why would it boost the world economy?
because he freed money that's been hidden overseas. It's coming back to America. It's like Apple bringing in hundreds of billions of dollars. They're going to invest it in America, in job, in money, and in turn, that's going to juice the entire world's economy.
Okay.
So, you know,
but Don, a tax cut always stimulates the economy. It's not rocket science.
Well, it must be to liberals because you guys never want to cut taxes.
No. I mean, cutting the corporate tax. Remember, they gave a corporate tax holiday. Was it Obama? I think it was, where they allowed a lot of money to come back in at a lower tax rate.
Not Obama. Somebody did it. He never did it.
Maybe you're right.
I think Bush tried it, but he did it in a half-hearted fashion.
Right.
This was done the right way, and there's hundreds of billions. Just a start is going to end up being trillions.
But here's the other thing, Don. The economy is heating up, and it's a cycle. Okay, it goes down, and then it goes up, and it gets red hot, and everybody, all the bears are shunted aside, and all the bulls are all like, it's going to be wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And so it just keeps building on itself. And it's been obvious it's been building on itself with or without Trump.
Right now, it is on fire. Trump's managing it well. And the liberals saying, the government's not going to get much money. Well, guess what? The government is getting from Apple $38 billion it never would have had because of this tax plan.
Well, when you're talking about deficits, you're talking about hundreds of billions. So $38 billion is a nice chunk. I mean, remember that the corporate...
the difference between a defeatist attitude and a positive...
Well, Don, you can always cut taxes and let the deficit go up. And if you're not worried about the deficit, which I thought that's what Republicanism, one of the conservative tenets was balancing budgets, you can always cut taxes and get more revenue. It always works.
Now, on this illegal alien thing, you were talking about how the illegal immigrants have lower crime rates. They don't. They have higher crime rates. In fact, I'll go down with you to Acosta Plaza in Salinas. I'll hang some gold chains around your neck and have you walk around in the middle of the night to see if you're alive the next day. We have two or three murders a week between Salinas, Greenfield, King City, all of them are either illegal aliens or their children, either doing the murdering or getting murdered. That study that you showed, that you were talking about, was a phony study. It conflated legal immigration with illegal immigration. It compared crime rates in Chicago and Baltimore to the crime rates of the immigrants.
Well, I'll tell you this right now. Most gang members are U.S. citizens because they're teenagers and they were born here. So I don't think you'll find that it's about illegals. I think you'll find it's about when you have a huge concentration of youth in places
You don't know much about the illegal people, do you? You don't know that they have their own street gang. You don't know that they prey on their own.
Well, what I'm saying is when you have a low-income area that's heavily concentrated, you're going to have more crime than a high-income area, of course. But, you know, you're going to have low-income areas, and whether they were legal or illegal, I mean, go to Chicago. You got more crime there, and those people are illegal citizens.
I got to take off, but the last thing I'll say on this subject is this. When you come in here illegally, we don't know what disease you have. We don't know what crime history you have. We haven't vetted you. Yeah, 90% might be great people, but some of them aren't. Some of them are like that guy up in Sacramento who said about killing the cops, I killed them MFers. I wish I could have killed more of them MFers.
Okay, thanks, Don. Well, I'll tell you this. I mean, it just sure doesn't seem like there's that many of them. If one guy killed two cops, I mean, is it right? It's a horrible thing, okay? But you're going to have crime like that among lower-income people. And, you want to clean that mess up, you clean it up by bringing these people out of the shadows. So they're not illegal. And that's going to go a long way. Okay, so we're going to go to, we got Angie, in Montana. Well, let's see who's first. Let's just do it. Okay, it looks like Mark's first. Mark, go ahead. What say you about DACA?
Yeah, hi, Alex. I just wanted to comment on what the previous caller was saying. It just, there's such a demonization going on about minorities that all you have to, that they're like, so many of them are bad. I mean, Trump is out there saying how Mexicans are rapists and they bring crime and drugs and stuff. And he's given permission for people to just be really hateful towards minorities. And it's just, there's bad people in every race. I understand that. But this demonization and this, I mean, I think it was Don was just telling you that, you know, you just don't know about, you know, you don't know about these people, right? It's like, come on.
They're people. People are people.
They're people.
Right. Yeah. And they're young and they're healthy. I mean, what you're talking about is, you know, do you have gangs? Well, you're always going to have some gangs. You get gangs wherever there's a huge collection of low-income people, doesn't matter what their race is. And so long as you have workers, you need them. I mean, if these people were all in as braceros, it'd be the same situation. You know,
yeah,
these
people are coming across the border. They're risking their lives to come here to get a better life because they're poor, and they're going to take any job that they can get.
And they're hardworking, and they're honest. Yeah. And, I mean, I've met them. You know, my employees, they all have their papers, but some of their relatives don't, or they didn't recently. And they're just the nicest people, and they'll look out for you, and they'll do you favors. And, you know, and you should see how they take care of each other. They look out way more than any Caucasian people I know do.
Well, that's true. And there seems to be a stronger sense of family values amongst the Hispanic people. And the Hispanic people didn't bring down the World Trade Center on 9/11. I mean, come on.
Right.
They're conflating, you know, people coming across the border to get a job picking fruit or being dishwashers or home health aides with terrorists. And it's just not true.
No, it's not even close. These people are so far from that. They're just looking to live the same life. I mean, think about it. It's like if there's a life available that you and I are living, meaning we have a business and we have a home and we have a family and we like where we live and we have friends and all that, and that we're prosperous. Well, they're looking exactly the same thing, going, God, this American way of life looks great to us. Where do we sign up? That's what they see. They're not like, how do I scam this? You can't scam it anyway. There's no welfare. I mean, you know, these people are happy to work. I mean, they don't want to sit around all day doing nothing.
Yeah, you know, who's out there picking the food in the field? It's Hispanic people. And you know who works out in the field? People who have to work out in the fields. That's horrible, backbreaking labor.
It's the only people that would do it. Thanks for that call. And Angie, we're going to go to you, and you can kind of finish out the show here. So Angie in Montana, how you doing? Thanks for calling.
I'm calling from Monterey, California.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, thanks for calling.
Okay. I agree a little bit with the last gentleman that was talking about. I'm half Hispanic Caucasian, and I'm 74 years old, and it seems to me like it's they should go out there. Instead of complaining, they complain about putting the walls up, our president. You know, that to me, it's a shame what's happening to the United States here. I mean, I'm 74 years old. I never heard about braceros and gangs and all that. And I'm a very educated woman. I went to MPC College. I went to the university. And here are all these people that are trying to down what the other guy talked about. You don't know the background. Who knows the person, whether you're black, white, or Mexican, or Japanese, or background, right?
Yeah, I mean, people, you know.
You know what it is? Can't they ever say something good? I used to pick strawberries. I used to pick cauliflower. Excuse me. We didn't see white people out there even picking up the strawberries. So let me tell you something. This shouldn't just be griping. It should be grateful.
They should be happy that you're doing it.
Yeah, they should be happy that we're alive every day, that God gives them life.
You're going to pay $10 a strawberry if the white people were picking them.
Look at Alice. I grew up picking strawberries, tomatoes. And those days, we didn't hear what's going on nowadays. It's like this generation is all messed up, and the president putting walls. What does he put walls in his mouth? You know, it's horrible because a lot of people, it's just degrading.
You got 10 seconds. Finish up.
You know, God be with them, because this is not good. It's very negative for people here. Say, hey, you know what? There's good people in every nationality.
And this is KSCO Santa Cruz, AM 1080. Stay tuned for Flight 1080. See you here next week.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. Congress passes a short-term budget bill to officially end the three-day federal government shutdown. Correspondent Linda Kenyon has more.
The Senate passed the bill by a vote of 81 to 18, and then the House followed in fairly rapid succession.
On this vote, the yeas are 266 and the nays are 150.
The bill funds the federal government through February 8th, during which time lawmakers are supposed to work on the issues that helped to lead to the shutdown in the first place, issues including immigration and funding for community health care centers. While Republicans and Democrats alike in both houses of Congress blame the other side for the shutdown, all agreed that short-term funding measures, or CRs, must come to an end, and that government shutdown should never be repeated. Linda Kenyon, Washington.
The White House believes Senate Democrats bore the brunt of the government shutdown and gained nothing for it.
Press Secretary Sarah Sanders says the shutdown ended when Democrats backed down from their immigration demands.
We were pleased to see Senator Schumer accept the deal that President Trump put on the table from the very beginning, which was to responsibly fund the government and debate immigration as a separate issue.
In a White House statement, President Trump said he's pleased Democrats have come to their senses. And the subject line in an email from the Trump campaign declared, Democrats cave.
White House correspondent Greg Clugston reporting. A 16-year-old boy accused of shooting a classmate at a Texas high school on Monday had a history of aggressive actions at school, according to a fellow student. The injured student, a 15-year-old girl, was airlifted to a hospital in Dallas following the shooting inside the cafeteria at Itley High School, which is in a small town of Itley about 40 miles south of Dallas. The boy fled after being confronted by a school district official but was later arrested. The student said she first went to school officials after the boy allegedly made a hit list in eighth grade and her name was on it. On Wall Street, the Dow by 143 points, the Nasdaq rose 70, the S&P advanced 23. More at townhall.com.
Interested in trading as a way to generate extra monthly income? Listen up. Before you sign up for some garbage program or awkward in-person seminar, you really need to hear about the online trader program that everyone's talking about. This is the program that allows you to get your account funded with someone else's money. That's right. Apiary Fund will gladly put up to $100,000 of their money into your trading account. And the best part? You get to keep 85% of the profits without putting in a dime of your own money. Apiary Fund and this program are growing like crazy. As a special offer, Apiary Fund is allowing our listeners to get started for free. Just call 800-959-4526 and leave us your email address, and we will send you all the exciting details of how to trade Apiary Fund's money and not your own. Call 800-959-4526 and leave your email address on the voicemail. Your free report will be sent right away. 800-959-4526. That's 800-959-4526.
Five people are missing after an explosion at a drilling rig in eastern Oklahoma. The explosion occurred west of the town of Quinton, about 100 miles southeast of Tulsa. Pittsburgh County Emergency Management Director Kevin Enlow says local authorities responded as quickly as possible to the explosion.
We got everybody on scene, got everybody off, tried to get an accountability established as far as how many people were on the location, how many people were unaccounted for, and then started initial attack on the fire. The fire departments did. They pulled back after we started having explosions, secondary explosions on location.
About 17 workers were rescued from the site shortly after the blast, including one who was treated at the scene for burns. Enlow says the fire is mostly containing itself on site, where several tanks and other equipment are located. He says, quote, pretty much everything on site is on fire. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. Oregon wants voters to decide how to pay for its ballooning Medicaid costs.
The Beaver State aggressively expanded its Medicaid rolls under the Affordable Care Act, adding enough people to leave only 5% of its population uninsured, one of America's lowest rates. Now, with the reduction of a federal match that covered those enrollees, the state's calling on voters to decide how to pay for the spiraling costs. A special election tomorrow asks Oregonians whether they approve of a tax on hospitals, health insurers, and managed care companies that would leave Medicaid as it is now untouched. Maine voters recently approved Medicaid expansion, but experts say Oregon's election is the only instance of voters, not lawmakers, getting the final say. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
Delaware is suing drug manufacturers and drug stores over the opioid crisis. The News Journal reports that the state's lawsuit blames manufacturing companies for misleading doctors and consumers. The suit claims the company said the drugs were not powerfully addictive or dangerous. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Good afternoon, everyone. You're listening to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz, AM 1340 KOMY La Selva Beach, Watsonville. The time is now 4:05, and we've got your King of the Hill traffic update and weather forecast coming up next. Brad is standing by with those. Brad, what's happening out there?
Thanks, Dave. Let's start with a wrong-way driver in Watsonville on Green Valley Road and Amesty Road. Somebody is driving on the wrong side of the street, causing havoc in that area, so watch out there. Let's go to the highways now. Let's start with Highway 1 in Santa Cruz County between the Fish Hook and Watsonville. There is slow-moving traffic between Soquel and Seacliff exits in the southbound direction. If you're coming off 17 into Santa Cruz, there's heavy traffic.